chest ultrasonography, until very recently, ultrasound was considered completely useless in the evaluation of pulmonary parenchyma. This was because we insisted, radiologists in particular, at having anatomical reproduction, faithful anatomical reproduction, and we ignored that artifacts exist in the lungs that can be interpreted with very high accuracy. So the first, the pioneer is Liechtenstein in France, who for the first time in 1997 reversed the equation and started using ultrasound for the evaluation of lung parenchyma. In 1997, he described the first artifact that was useful in deriving information from the lung. He named it the comet tail sign. Following this, in 1998, he established a protocol called the Blue Protocol, using several ultrasonographic signs, which in combination he got an algorithm which allowed him to evaluate with great accuracy causes of the respiratory distress syndrome. We will be talking at this at the end. I guess all of you are familiar with X-rays and CT scans, with their technology, their production, their artifacts, and their limitations. Whereas very few of you, I assume, know about ultrasonography since you don't use it, except very few of you. So you will have to bear with me for a few minutes to explain the machines, the technology, the production of the images, and the anatomico-ultrasonographic correlation before we go to the subject, to the core of the subject. An ultrasound machine, I don't have a pointer. So, an ultrasound machine is made of the big one. I need a pointer, please. Okay, so this is a machine which has a processor, the computer. It has a keyboard like all computers. It has a screen, and to the right of the screen, you see different types of transducers. The transducers, every type has an application and is... Okay. Okay, so these are the transducers. Each one of them has an application and has limitation. The best one for us in this topic is the small one, the convex one, which will allow you to wedge it between the ribs and then have access to the lungs proper. The fifth item that is very important in ultrasonography is this blue thing here, which is the coupling gel. Ultrasound remains an enemy for us, and we have to displace it between the probe and the skin of the patient so that we get a good image. Otherwise, if you have air bubbles, small amounts of air, you get a very poor image. How is ultrasound produced? The transducer that we saw acts as an emitter and as a receiver at the same time. It generates a pulse, an ultrasound pulse. This pulse will propagate at different velocities depending on the attenuation by different tissues and organs. We will see these names are, attenuation is the limitation to the propagation of the sound. A small part of the beam or of the pulse will always be reflected at tissue boundaries at the interfaces between organs. The largest part of this pulse will be reflected by the tissues, also depending on their attenuation. So the reflections are received by the transducers, and the computer will generate pixels which will add to give you an image. It's like the digital camera. This is the first applications of ultrasound. It was to the abdomen. This is an image of the right upper quadrant. What you see in white here are the interfaces between the liver and the peritoneum and between the liver and the kidney. So interfaces will always reflect a part of the pulse, and therefore you have the contours of the organs. depending on the water content of the organ, you will have a shade of gray. The higher the content of water, the blacker is the organ, and this is the liver, this is the kidney. This is the black the white structure here is the fat within the sinus of the kidney. So fat, be it subcutaneous or within the organs, attenuates quite much the pulse, and therefore you have a white image. Within the liver, you have these black structures, which are in fact vessels which contain blood, and blood is fluid. So you will see it as black. What happens at air and bone have a very high attenuation, therefore they limit completely the usefulness of the ultrasound. Fluids, on the contrary, have a very low attenuation and therefore a very good transmission. What happens if you have fluid and tissues at an interface in contact with bone and air? At the interface of fluid and tissue with bone and air, you have complete reflection. Nothing passes beyond the air or beyond the bone, and therefore you cannot have an image, a morphologic image, a real image of what's happening, but you have artifacts generated. And this is exactly what Liechtenstein did. He analyzed the artifacts that we'll see. So until 1997, ultrasound was limited to the superficial pleural conditions, which are pleural effusions, masses, or pleural thickening. After 1997, started the era of analysis and interpretation of the artifacts. A brief way of doing the ultrasound. You have many techniques which are described. The shortest one is the one I'm showing you, is 4 points. You start at the midclavicular line, the first point, at the second or third intercostal space. The second one is at the anterior axillary line, fifth intercostal space, which is usually the level of the nipple. These 2 points are to assess the pleura, and namely pneumothorax, because this is the least dependent part of the thorax. The third one is in the mid-axillary line, slightly lower, and the third one is very posterior and slightly lower, so sometimes you have to push your transducer beneath the mattress. These two lines are for the pleura, are for the lungs. This is the mid-axillary line where you see best the interstitial changes, and here is the point that is the posterolateral point. Also, we'll be talking about it. This is where you have alveolar and or pleural syndrome, which is the... we'll be talking about this later. Fine. So what happens when you put an ultrasound probe? If the lungs are normal, the pleura will be acting like a mirror because you have enough, you have air inside and nothing else. So the interface, like we saw a few slides ago, the interface will reflect completely the sound, and then you will get a mirror, and nothing will pass beyond the pleura. You will get artifacts, but you cannot see, you cannot derive any anatomical information. On the lower end of the spectrum is where you have a high decrease in air and a high increase in water or cellular contents of the lung, which is the definition of a consolidation. In such a case, you zoom down to a solid organ and you will get a morphological image of the lung, which is a faithful reproduction of the lung proper. In between, you have a situation where you have a high decrease in air and a slight increase in the fluid. This amount of air is still enough to prevent a real image, but is also enough to prevent the pleura from acting like a mirror. This is the situation where you have the artifacts. At the same time, this is for the air. At the same time, you have interstitial fluid, which is too small to be seen like a structure, but is enough to create artifacts. Now enough for the introduction. We start with the ultrasound proper. Chest ultrasonography relies on five simple signs, which are the sliding pleura, and this is to detect pneumothorax, the A lines, B lines, these you are not probably familiar with. Alveolar consolidation and pleural effusion, most of you are probably familiar with. So we start with the lung sliding. This is a static image. This is a cut, a static image of an ultrasound through an intercostal space. Through an intercostal space. So the probe is applied here. You have the skin, the subcutaneous fat. This star and this star are for the ribs. And notice that posterior to the ribs, you have nothing because the cortex, the anterior cortex of the rib, has reflected completely the sound. So you get a complete black beam posteriorly. In between the ribs, you have this white line, which is the pleural line. So this is a normal aerated lung with a pleura that is up in contact with the chest wall. Beyond this, you don't see much. We were not seeing much until recently. So I will have an animation, a small animation, for what you see. This is where the pleura moves. So this is where the pleura moves, okay? We were seeing the landmarks. This is rib, and then you have the pleura, which is sliding, going to and fro, small movements, okay? So if you see this, then you know that the pleura is up, and the pleura is in contact with the chest wall. So if you see this, at the point where you are putting your transducer, you have no pneumothorax, 100% sure. Please note that even this movement is an artifact. This is not the true movement of the pleura. Ultrasonographically, this is an artifact and not real images. So this is the first artifact. Fine. So you have this sliding, then you are sure you have no pneumothorax. What happens if you have an absent lung sliding? Then you first highly suspect a pneumothorax. However, this is not a 100% sure sign, and you have to include the following causes of absent lung sliding, which is massive atelectasis. If you have intubated a main stem bronchus, if the patient has had pleurodesis, if he's in apnea, or if he has pneumonia. So we start with the pleura. Is it sliding? Yes, we stop for the pleura. It's not sliding, we go to adjunct or to additive signs, additional signs. We go first for what we call the lung pulse. The lung pulse is, in fact, the transmission of the heart beats to the pleura or to the chest wall through an existing lung. So if you see it, it rules out also pneumothorax. Let's have a small animation. Min Mashia, please. Okay, now you will see the pleura when it will start moving. You will see that it is moving, it is not, look at the rate at which it is moving, okay? This is not, nobody can breathe at this rate. This is transmission of the pulse, of the heart rate of the patient, okay, in between two ribs, and the movement you are seeing is the movement by the hand of the operator. So this is lung pulse. So if you have lung pulse, it is equivalent to having lung sliding, and therefore there is no pneumothorax. What happens if you don't have lung sliding? Then you go to the lung point. What is lung point? Lung point is the interface, the junction between normally aerated lung and pleura and air within the pleural space. If you see it, then you can diagnose 100% the presence of a pneumothorax, 100%, no question. So let's have command animation, please. Now you will see. Okay, can you animate this one? Fine. So look at this. You are seeing a white line which is sliding completely, going at a place where you have a line which is fixed. This is not sliding, and this is sliding. So you can assume, you can see lung going to and fro through a pneumothorax. So you have the sign, you are 100% sure it's a pneumothorax, and this can detect very, very small pneumothoraces. We cannot we cannot bypass the M mode. What you are seeing, all the images, all what you see usually, are the B mode in ultrasonography, which is a technique. You have the M mode, which is used by the cardiologist because it gives you a static image of moving objects. And this has been likened to the seashore. Okay, you have, this is a seashore. So the waves in front are the moving, are the chest wall. This is what the chest wall looks. The seashore is the pleural line. So waves and seashore. If you have sand beyond, punctate sand, this reflects at 100% a moving pleura, and therefore you have pleural motion. If you don't have sound and you have what now we call the barcode, but which was originally named the stratosphere sign, if you have white lines like the barcode, then you know that there is no lung sliding, but you did not diagnose yet 100% pneumothorax. This is the original slide by Lichtenstein, where you have normal moving lung, absence of motion. Until you have this picture, you cannot be sure that you have pneumothorax. This will sign pneumothorax 100%. Fine. So enough for the first artifact, which is the pleural line. We will go now to the A lines. A lines are horizontal, repetitious, white lines, what we call echogenic lines, which parallel the pleura. If you see one, it is enough to say that the underlying line, lung is normal. If you see more than one, it's better, you feel more confident, but one is enough. So these are static images, and we cannot explain exactly technically how these happen. Okay? So this is one white line here, this is one, this is very subtle, but this is enough. One of the, this is pleura, this is rib with the shadows of the ribs, and then pleura, and beneath it you have thin white lines. One is enough to say that you have a normal aerated lung beneath your transducer. Can you animate, please? This is how it looks on an ultrasound. Okay, all of these, this is pleura, this is this is pleura, and all of these are white lines beneath. One is enough to say that you have normal lung beneath. So what is the significance of an A line? What does it mean? If you have A lines throughout the lungs, this implies that you have a normal chest X-ray. This is definite, but you have to have them throughout the lung, throughout both lung fields. So if you have an A line pattern throughout the lungs, your differential diagnosis rules out completely, does not include parenchymal disease, and you zoom down to non-parenchymal disease, in particular obstructive lung disease, pulmonary embolism, and acidosis. If you have an A-line pattern throughout the lungs, this rules in a filling atrial pressure of less than 13 millimeter of mercury with 90% specificity. And I let you derive what you can do if you need to load the patient with fluid. So this is a very good help for you in the ICU. Enough for the A lines. Now we go to the pathology. Definitions of B lines. These are vertical, hyperechoic, laser-like lines or artifacts which arise from the pleural line and which extend, extend to the bottom of the screen without fading. On the contrary, they enlarge usually, and they move synchronously with the pleural, with the lung sliding. So these B lines reflect fluid and other material in the interlobular septum. And it's very important to note that they occur before fluid accumulates in the alveolus. So these are the B lines, a static image of B lines, where they are parallel to the pleura, vertical to the pleura, they cross the screen from top to bottom, and they don't fade. Okay, enough for this. A small animation also, you will see them moving. Please, animation. These are the B lines. Okay, the white lines, you have to see three, two or more. Three is enough to say that you have a problem with the interlobular septi at the side where you are putting your probe. Their significance for you, if they are diffuse and bilateral, then you go to the differential of diffuse interstitial syndrome. If they are focal, then you have a focal interstitial syndrome, and your differential would be this one. And if it is diffuse, then you have any type of pulmonary edema, interstitial pneumonia or pneumonitis, and diffuse parenchymal lung disease, namely pulmonary fibrosis. If you have focal, if you have a few in the basis, everybody of us, every one of us, harbors a few lines in the dependent portion, close to the costophrenic angles. So it can be normal if it's focal and small and localized. And then focal pneumonia, pneumonitis, atelectasis, contusions, infarction, pleural disease, and tumors. B lines can form a continuum. So you can start with normal lungs, a few. These are coalescing. Then you know that the interstitial edema is increasing as compared to this one, until you reach a pleural effusion and intraalveolar consolidation due to edema. The same for the treatment. So you can use B lines to assess your treatment. If you have, this is a patient on admission with extensive B lines, which have which are resolving 3.5 hours after CPAP. So this is also, this will guide your treatment. We reach the consolidations. The consolidation is when the lung has very low air content or absent air content. You can see lungs. A lung is seen by ultrasonography if it does not contain air or if there is fluid around it. These are two examples. This is the diaphragm, and this is the liver or the spleen below. Above the diaphragm, you have a completely solid organ. Same here. Okay, diaphragm, liver or spleen, completely consolidated lung. These white lines, the parallel small lines, are the bronchograms. So this is a consolidation with an air bronchogram. Consolidation, air bronchogram, and a small effusion. I will skip the animation because these are things you are familiar with. Just to introduce the concept of hepatization, this is the first slide I showed you. It contains a liver, and this is practically similar to the liver. So this was coined by the French, hepatisation, and now is used worldwide. We will not go into the differential of consolidations. You know them. But just to tell you that consolidation does not mean the actual pathological consolidation of infection. It includes all the situations where air, where fluid or cells replace air in the lungs. The method is being refined, and new criteria or new signs are used, and people are starting to be able to differentiate quite with accuracy between a pulmonary embolus and a consolidation and a collapse. So things are really evolving. This will be skipped, this also. We reach the pleural effusion. Pleural effusion is the presence of fluid in the pleural space. Fluid, which is not complicated, is black. It is not enough to find fluid to say that there is an effusion, because fluid can be elsewhere than in the pleural space. You have to see a diaphragm or a moving lung to make sure that this is an effusion. This effusion is completely black. These are reverberations. So this is uncomplicated fluid. Pleural effusions can be complex with septations, and even this is an extreme case of septations and of large amounts of cells and debris within the pleural space. Fine. So now we reach, how can we use all these signs? How can you use all these signs to to have a diagnosis in the acute respiratory syndrome. We start first with the pneumothorax. So you start with the lung sliding. If you have a lung sliding, yes, then you have no pneumothorax. If you don't have lung slidings, you look for the B lines. If they're present, they arise from the pleura, therefore the pleura is up and there is no pneumothorax. If they're not present, you look for the lung point. If you find a lung point, then you are 100% sure it's a pneumothorax. If you have no lung point, you look for the lung pulse. If you have it, then you go back to no pneumothorax. If you don't have it and you are in the proper clinical setting, you might diagnose pneumothorax, but you might need additional methods of evaluation. This is the issue of chest, where the Blue Protocol was published, and this is the Blue Protocol, the original one. This is taken from the article. You start with the ultrasound if you have lung sliding, then you have two possibilities. If you have an A profile, then you have a normal lung. Then you go to venous analysis. They went to venous analysis. If you have thrombosed veins, then you highly suspect or you diagnose pulmonary embolus with other criteria. If the veins are free, then you go to, you look if you have posterolateral alveolar or pleural and or pleural syndrome is the fourth point that I showed you, then you diagnose pneumonia. If you have no PLAPS, then your lungs are completely clear and are moving, then you go to COPD or asthma. First figure with the lung sliding. If you have a B profile, then you go directly to pulmonary edema. You go then to a combination of A and B. If you have lung sliding and you have A and B lines, then you diagnose pneumonia. If you have lung sliding that is not present, you have two possibilities. You have the B prime profile, which is B lines without lung sliding. Then you go again to this and you diagnose pneumonia. If you have A lines, you have two possibilities. Lung point, then if you have a lung point, then you have pneumothorax. If you have no lung sliding, you have A lines without a lung point, then you have to go to a CT scan or to additional chest X-rays to see if it is a pneumothorax or not. Using this protocol, these people, French Lichtenstein and Mézières, were able to diagnose, I let you see this, okay? Nothing below 90, except occult pneumothorax, be it in specificity, in sensitivity, or in specificity. They could diagnose pleural effusion with a sensitivity of 97% and 94% specificity, consolidation, interstitial syndrome, 93%, large pneumothorax, 100%, and occult pneumothorax, 79% sensitivity and 100% specificity. These are their final results, and I let you, for this, compare in your mind if you had a chest X-ray and if you have these results, and if you have ultrasound. The final numbers are the resume of their study. They studied 260 consecutive dyspneic ICU patients, and they were blinded to clinical information. They could arrive at a correct diagnosis in 235 out of 260 patients consecutive, which is a 90% diagnosis. They could diagnose in these numbers 83 pneumonias, 64 congestive heart failure, 49 COPDers, 34 asthmatics, 21 pulmonary emboli, and 9 pneumothoraces. This is a reference for you if you want. This is a major article. Fine. So, as a conclusion, lung ultrasonography is a non-irradiating, extremely quick technique for the assessment of acute respiratory distress, as you have seen, and pleural effusions at the point of care by the bedside in the ICU. It supersedes supine chest X-rays in most of the conditions and challenges even CT, which is the gold standard in a few conditions. It can be repeated ad lib as much as you want, and it has a quick learning curve. Thank you.